Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith back here. We get rid of Greg. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 joins us now to keep this Penn State Pitt discussion going. The segment brought to you by Shotzi's Brats, ShotzisBrats.com. You can check them out, their jumbo brats, and their jalapeno relish as well. Talking Penn State Pitt with Tyler. And Tyler, just bottom line me, what did you learn or see from this game that you might not have known coming out of the App State game?
I think we learned that there is some growth going on the defensive line. I thought Shaka Toney played well, coming off the edge of defensive end. Fred Hanser made a few steps forward. Daniel Joseph did as well at defensive end. So getting Kevin Givens back was the headline up front, but I think you saw some depth begin to get a little bit more comfortable behind that group, and I think that's very important.
How about growth from first half to second half? Have you gotten a chance to go back through the film? And I know James Franklin talked about some adjustments that happened at halftime, and you saw them come out and defend the run a lot better, and Pitt lost control a little bit, so that was a factor too. But what did you see in the half to half comparison, especially when it comes to stopping the run?
Well, yeah, I think it was just keen in focusing in on what they preached all week for Pitt. Apparently, that went out the window a little bit early, and for the defensive ends reading things. And I think ultimately, you just got to look at the way they clamped down so tremendously in the second half. I think it was at 214 rushing yards, midway through the second quarter. This game felt like Pitt was winning at halftime by two scores. It turned out Penn State was up by eight, but it didn't feel that way at all. You look at kind of went through the second half a little bit. Here's the drive, three and out, a one play a drive that ends up being a safety, three and out, three and out, three and out, five plays that get you 0 yards, another punt, a fumble, turnover on downs, and then you get the ball game. I mean, that was the second half for Pitt. I think a lot of us saw, the defense really getting pushed around. It seemed like, whether it was Olison or anyone running the ball for Pitt was able to get to that second level with really very little resistance from the defensive front for Penn State. And you're just thinking, wow, we just saw the fourth quarter against App State. This first half, Pitt is putting up insane numbers on the ground. What is this Penn State defense identity, and what can they possibly do to right the ship? And then, obviously coming out in the second half, it was a completely different ball game. And I don't know if I spoke with Greg about this in the press box in Pittsburgh, but I mentioned to a few colleagues, it really did feel like at halftime when we're walking around, like Pitt was in control of that game despite the scoreboard. No one saw 51-6 coming. I think that's very fair to say.
Yeah, I think pregame, halftime, midway through this, I think that the danger of what Pitt brings to the table against Penn State with that commitment to that physical run game is why people were a little bit concerned going into this game in the first place. And that started to unfold in the first 30 minutes, and I felt the same way, that this was not going in Penn State's direction. I thought it was there was a real upset alert happening here, but second half, I go back and just all the football I've watched over the years, I just can't really recall just such a stark contrast. I know it happens, but such a stark contrast between the first 30 minutes and the second 30 minutes. It was pretty unbelievable.
I can't either. I mean, you think about the whole situation in the second quarter, where one of those special teams mistakes for Pitt, where they're unable to get the punt off, and Jarvis Miller comes up with the ball after Micah Parsons, disrupts things with the punter. If they don't, end up forcing that special teams mistake and getting the ball and setting up the touchdown for Hamler that sends them into halftime up 14-6, I'm not sure if they attempt a drive there, because they'd be up 7-6. Let's say they get the punt off. Penn State's kind of pinned back pretty deep in their own territory. You got, 2 minutes, maybe a little bit less in the half. It's raining. Passing game has not been clicking. I think there's a real chance that Penn State kind of lets that clock tick, go to the locker room with a one-point lead and reassesses at 7-6. I think that was a major turning point, along with the fourth down stop, obviously, which was a few minutes before that. And that changed the complexion and sent things into the locker room. And I think from a Pittsburgh point of view, you're in the locker room. You just carved up Penn State for more than 200 rushing yards. Your defense is playing pretty well. You made some special teams mistakes, but the whole culmination of that is you're down by 8 points. And I think that's pretty disheartening for them.
And I got to ask you late in the game here, the two separate issues. One, having Sean Clifford throw the ball deep. Greg and I covered this, and I shared my opinion. I'll share it again in a minute. But Sean Clifford throwing the ball deep with whatever it was, 4 minutes and change left in the game with a big lead, and then calling the timeout on Ricky Slade's second fumble of the game to set up the review of that fumble, which to me in the review, it looked like his knee was probably down first. There wasn't enough to overturn it. I just wonder what your opinions were on those two particular things. I saw some of the guys who have been around the beat for a long time didn't like it that much.
Yeah, well, I certainly do know that there were some groans, you know, coming from the press box when that timeout was called and that review was made. They took the time to check that out. Here's my stance on the Sean Clifford deal. College football, you only get so many opportunities to evaluate your young talent. There's no preseason games. You don't know what you have sometimes until a guy's out there with a little bit of pressure on him. It was a pretty empty stadium by the time Sean Clifford was out there and the game was well in hand. But I always think if you can get reps for your quarterback, ultimately Penn State was obviously very laser focused in this game, and Franklin had no intentions of turning that off until the game was done. Certainly the fact that this is Pitt, Penn State, Narduzzi said plenty leading up to this. Franklin really pounded down that this game is the Super Bowl because it's this week's game, and he's already said the same thing for Kent State. So there are there's definitely some animosity on both ends, even though you won't hear that said publicly, at least not in state college. And yeah, I think there's a lot of room for interpretation there, Dustin. But I do think with Clifford, you see it across college football, with young quarterbacks getting in games that are blowouts, getting those looks. Ohio State against Rutgers, Tate Martell had himself a pretty nice little appearance, and the game was well, well, well out of reach. And he's their number two quarterback. I think ultimately you want to see what he got. It was a nice moment for Sean Clifford. It's something that he can build off of. And it was a good moment for Brandon Polk, too. Let's also put that out there. But I can see why it rubbed people the wrong way. But I think there is something to be said for getting a look at your personnel when the game's a little bit out of hand, because you don't know how many opportunities you'll get to do that during the season.
I 100% agree with the Sean Clifford thing. I said to Greg earlier, I feel like putting your reserves in is enough. I don't think putting your reserves in and just running it with Mark Allen or somebody again and again and again is necessary in this day and age. And I think that, no matter what the score is or how many people are in the crowd, it's still a game on TV. It's still a situation where the numbers that go in the score sheet, they are official. They count towards your career profile. They go down in the records as being legitimate. And there's a certain and obviously seeing a different defense and getting a different look and different personnel and that kind of thing. Let the kids play. I didn't have any problem with that whatsoever. I felt like, you're already kind of conceding the outcome of the game and putting your third stringer in there. Let him throw it. I didn't really understand the criticism of that.
I was actually a little surprised that we didn't see Clifford in there earlier, sure. to get a few more passes in the books, because there was a moment there midway through the fourth quarter, I'm not exactly sure on the exact time of it, but Trace McSorley got his head twisted around, and you're thinking the last thing that Penn State needs up by five touchdowns late in the game here with the field a little bit sloppy is for Trace McSorley to get turned around the wrong way and for having him to come out of this game with any kind of injury. I don't think that happened. I think they avoided that scenario, but I'm a little surprised you didn't see Clifford out there maybe getting three, four, five more passes before the game was over.
So the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking to Tyler Donahue from Lions 247. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they've got a Keystone Sports RV jam-packed with good stuff from 409 Tailgate Club barbecue sauces, tailgate wine, Labatt Blue beer, even a catered barbecue meal. You can check it out at GoPSURV.com. Tell me about what you're seeing from the linebacker position, Tyler, because it might have been coincidental, but the turning of the tide happened whenever you started to see a little bit of Jesse Luketta. You saw more of Micah Parsons in this game, and clearly I don't think that's a trend that's going away, but it's almost like the transformation and the transition, so to speak, is starting to happen, and I think it's only going to continue where you're getting these young guys on the field.
Yes, we've talked about this really since training camp. The goal has to be to figure out what you've got at linebacker and figure out how you're going to split the reps up by the time Ohio State comes to town the final weekend of September. And I think they're progressing in that direction. It's very clear that Micah Parsons is not going to take any steps back at this rate in terms of snaps. He led the team in tackles. Again, had some moments where he was out of place, but it's very clear that he brings a different dimension to the linebacker position than, you know, fifth-year guy. They have a lot of respect for him, Koa Farmer. They're just different athletes. They're different players, a different range. Farmer, on the other hand, had one tackle against Pittsburgh. And I think, it's interesting. I'm going to be curious to see what happens with Luketta, and he's a guy that they're going to work in a little bit more slowly, I think. I think Keaton Ellis, he flashed a few times out there. One thing that was good to see from a Penn State point of view was Sam Brown. He seemed like he was playing on skates a little bit against App State. He was, he just was always a stride behind, and he just seemed like he was always playing from a bad position and a bad angle. That was cleaned up quite a bit against Pitt. That was good. And Jarvis Miller, I think, Dustin, when we're talking about guys who are starting to work their way and becoming, main guys in that rotation, I think he's made a nice case for himself. He's also been a nice player on special teams. And Jan Johnson keeps chipping away. I think he's a guy who's been steady. I don't see him going anywhere either. But, yeah, there's a youth movement across this defensive front seven especially. And I think we're gonna see that come to fruition at linebacker. I would not be surprised if we're seeing Micah getting more snaps than really any linebacker in games not too far down the stretch here in the season.
Real quick, just like 20 seconds. What are you looking for in the Kent State game? What do you want to give me a score pick? It's early in the week. I understand.
It is early. I'm going to say though, I think this is the game where Penn State does win comfortably. Maybe the game people thought they'd see from App State, and I think this is when we're going to see a longer look at some of the true freshmen. I'm really curious to see Jahan Dotson for one, maybe even Jason Owe. And Justin Shorter, if he's healthy, I think this might be an opportunity to check him out too. They have some questions at receiver in terms of who's going to be in that rotation. I think this could be a good opportunity to address that.
There you go. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 giving the lowdown on the Penn State Pitt game. Also on what to watch for Kent State. James Franklin mentioned some of these home games as a contest to get some of these true freshmen on the field. Maybe we see it this weekend. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. Ask Greg is coming up right after this. We're not done talking Penn State football. It was so nice. GoPSURV.com had to do it twice. Our guy Mark once again doing half price RV sales for Penn State, Kent State. So if you've been looking for a chance to check out what GoPSURV.com has to offer, you get a second chance that weekend. You can come see what they have to offer, including the Friday night before the game. You can check out 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, Tailgate Wine, Labatt Blue Beer, and Shotzi's Brats. GoPSURV.com lot has so many other features as well. You can check them all out at GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.